Well, hey, everybody, and welcome back to the Faith Together podcast presented to you by the Center for Faith and Family at Olivet Nazarene University. I'm Lindsay, and I'm here today joined with my wonderful co-host, Leon. Hi, Leon.
Hi, Lindsay.
Well, Leon, today is a special day because it's not just you and I here in the studio. We have a special guest with us today.
Yes, we do. I'm very excited about today.
Yes. So as listeners, you know, we have been in our Screen Time Safety series, and we've been following through a wonderful book called Screen Kids, written by Arlene Pelicane and Gary Chapman. And today we're thrilled to have the author Arlene Pelicane here on the podcast. Arlene, welcome.
It's so wonderful to be with you, and I'm sure Dr. Chapman would say hello as well.
That's great. We are so glad to have you. Thank you for making time, and thank you for this amazing book and all the research that you've done. We sure are learning a lot, and we're excited to just dive in a little bit more today and discuss how families can make a technology plan for themselves. But before we get there, Arlene, we would love just to hear a little bit about your family and what pulled you to research this important topic for kids and families.
It's like I have children, so I had to talk about screens because we live right in this new generation where moms and dads of yesteryear didn't have to talk about this. They talked about TV and could you watch Love Boat? You know, they talked about those kinds of things. So I have three kids. I have a college age student and two high schoolers. But I started writing about technology about 10 years ago in 2014. So my kids were much smaller then. And we were very much finding great success with our kids. Like, they read, they play, they talk to us, they love us. And they were doing this in the absence of iPads, right? So we were seeing that, you know, all these things we're hearing about, these horrible things happening with your grade school kids, et cetera. We were like, yeah, we're kind of okay. And realizing the absence of certain technologies, we are not technophobes. I have a podcast. My children have edited my podcast. My son did 3D printing all through high school. They use computers, you know. So, but there are certain things: a personal smartphone, video games, social media, you know, things like that. That were like, hey, those are off the table. You know, my husband is a realtor, and he remembers taking people in the van, and it'd be a family from out of town, and he'd think all of the kids are just watching a video game and they're not seeing their new neighborhood, their new house, what could be their new room. And he was like, oh no, that will not be our children. So very early on, we decided, you know, very basic things, but very controversial things maybe, or uncommon things. No video games, no social media, no smartphones, for sure through elementary school, for sure through middle school, and then maybe in high school. And then what we have found is we've pushed that as well.
Wow, that's really interesting. So, Arlene, on our podcast, we've been talking quite a bit about the importance of just being aware. I think for a lot of our families, the technology comes, we're really excited about all the new abilities that technology has for us. And so we start engaging in it. And without much thought, we just kind of pass that down to our kids and let them experience that. We want them to be caught up in what's going on in the world so they're not left behind, those kinds of things. Yeah. But one of the things we've talked about as a part of this journey is understanding it so that we can kind of create a plan of how we're going to use technology in our families. And we got that idea really from your book. So give us an idea of why it is so important to have a plan when it comes to the use of technology.
That technology is something that is so fun, right? It's like, oh my goodness, how did we ever find this place without GPS? Or, oh my goodness, I can look around the world, you know, and it's like a camera that's live right now around the world. I mean, there are so many amazing things about technology that are to be celebrated. And that's why many times we as parents, we just embrace it. But it's kind of one of those things that if you as a parent have thought, okay, let's bring in this video game, or let's go ahead and get this streaming, you know, platform or whatever it is, very soon after you've realized, oh, I did not realize that now I would be having to say, put that down, put that down, put that down. Or what did you just see on that? Or what did your friend just show you? And if you just kind of say, let's see where this goes, it tends to go to some very dark places pretty quickly. You know, I have a friend that says when she, you know, she had a sixth grader and so many sixth graders were getting phones. And the mom, the other mom said, well, you'll have to get your sixth grader a phone because everybody has one. But let me also give you my therapist's number because you're going to need this too. And wow. She said it as if like this was very blasé, like, yeah, you're going to need the phone and you're going to need the therapist. And here you go. So I think for parents, we need to realize if we do not have a plan, if we don't have a purpose, a goal for the technology use, then the technology will set those goals for us and for our children. So if we don't have a plan like, okay, this is why we are getting this device and this is how we're going to use it. Mm-hmm. This is how we are going to like say, oh, this is working or, oh, this isn't working. Like we're going to have parameters around this. If we don't have that in place as a family, then we are all just going to drift. And each of us, mom's going to be shopping, dad's watching sports, sister's on video games, brother's watching cartoons, and we're all in our little silos at home, entertained, amused, quote unquote safe because we're not on the streets. But 2 years in, we're like, oh, we have drifted apart from each other. And we don't have say as parents anymore because we've just kind of let this happen. So very much like driving, there's a plan for this. It's like we don't just say, here are the keys, here's the car, good luck, buddy. We don't do that. We have a plan. There are certain ages. And so think of the phone, think of addictive technologies like YouTube, TikTok, you know, things like that. Think of it like we need a plan for this or else it will eat up. You know, the average child in America is spending 6 to 8 hours with entertaining screen time, 6 to 8 hours. That is a huge swath of time. And 5.5 of those hours are usually with some kind of social media like Instagram or TikTok. And you just think like, what is that doing to your social skills, to your soul, to your ability to contribute to your family, to your ability to read? Like there's so many costs of that time being spent. And yet if you don't enter it with a plan, the 15 minutes turns into 30 and the 30 turns into an hour. And before you know it, you're like, oh my word, my child is on the phone from the time they get home from school till the time they go to bed. Like, but it's easier for the parents because we're busy too. So you've got to enter this with a plan because the consequences are pretty dire of entering it without.
Yeah. And I love how you pointed out there, Arlene, that it is easier to let it go because this is hard, right? For all of our listeners.
And it's common.
Yes.
You know, like it used to be if you were a bad parent, you'd feel kind of like, oh man, I'm like really doing a bad job. But now you feel the opposite. Like I didn't give my kid a phone or this video game. Am I a bad parent because I'm withholding it for them? So it's very common to see kids on electronics. So you feel like, well, this must be okay because so many people are doing it.
Yeah. So as parents are listening today, what would you say is, you know, a clear why for this hard work, for the reasons behind these rules and these boundaries? Because we know that it's very difficult and it's something that you have to be intentional with. And so in those moments that you just want to throw in the towel and say, look at the iPad, you know, and just let the iPad take over or turn on YouTube or in those moments that are the hard moments, what would you say is important to remember as that why to keep us on course, on track, where we need to be?
So in like, you know, the phase that we're in that we can't see beyond that. But this is just a short sliver. Like, believe me, I've got the college age student and the two high school students. And it was like yesterday that they were little. And for the rest of your children's lives, they will be adults. So it's kind of what you need to think of as the why is not that you're raising a child, but you are raising a future adult. So look at your child and pretend they are 25 years old. Okay, great. Your child is 25 years old. This should probably mean less stress for you because they should be independent. They should be doing their own thing. They should be making up their own money. They shouldn't be taking much money from you at all, et cetera. But if you are not raising them, preparing them for adulthood, then guess what? Wow, at age 25, they may not have the social skills to get a job. They may not have the people in their lives to go to, so they just have you. You know, these are very important things. So if you're at dinner at a fast food place and your child can't make it without the iPad and you're just thinking, I just need to get through the next 15 minutes. You need to think of it. Wait a minute, I am launching an adult. So does this mean that my child is going to turn into an adult who cannot sit with their friends, with their future spouse, et cetera, and woo them and win them and talk to them and have conversation with them and have eye contact with them and be courteous to the server and say, thank you so much for bringing me this food. Like, my child's not going to be able to do that. And that should put some panic in us. Like, wait a minute, I want my child to be able to have a conversation around a table. Like, that's not that difficult, right? It's only like 20 minutes. You can do this. For us, whatever it is, to fast forward, how is this helping them as an adult? How am I forming their character? What skills are they learning to help them into adulthood? And if you parent that way, it'll be harder in the moment to take away that iPad. But guess what? You do it, and maybe it takes a week or two to kind of get over the blow of that. But guess what? Now you have dinner. And now you guys can talk to each other. And now you can tell each other jokes and find out about their friends and form a relationship with them. So the why is, I will do the hard thing now so I can have the good life later. So I can enjoy my children. So many parents, they don't enjoy their kids. They don't enjoy them as teenagers. They don't enjoy them as young adults, because why? They're self-absorbed. They won't look at me. They don't do their chores. They're not responsible. They're disrespectful. They, you know, all these things. Well, it's like, well, wait a minute. What part did we play? And I know that sounds so harsh, but how did we enable that? And so if we will do the hard thing now, then later you get to enjoy your kids because they do know how to talk to you and they have been part of the team and they have been doing their chores because they haven't been on screens all the time. So the why of it is so fundamental of what kind of human being am I going to raise? How am I going to enjoy this person as a young adult? And most importantly, what is their faith going to be like as a young adult?
Yeah, wow. So I'm sitting here thinking that, you know, for most of our parents, they made a commitment when their children were very, very young, that they were going to raise their kids to follow Christ. And that's really what our podcast is about, is how to help parents do that. And this is just another one of those ingredients in that raising kids to follow Jesus that oftentimes I don't think we think about as a spiritual issue. So with that in mind, what plans should we kind of have as parents when it comes to things like social media, video games, YouTube, some of the things that you've already mentioned?
Yeah, I will tell you that a plan that will always work for you is the delay plan. So for you to think, should I let my child get this phone? Should I let my play this video, etc.? Should I let them get social media? If you say, you know what, let's wait one more year, I promise you that will never be a plan you are disappointed in. Go ahead, talk to any parent on the face of this planet, and there you will not find one that says, I should have given my kid Fortnite 3 years sooner because my life and his life would have been so much better. Or I should have given my kid access to social media because now she is so full of joy and it's just been the best thing for her. There is no one who says this. So for you to realize that delaying it is always a good plan. I would say in elementary school, none of these things, social media, their own phone, video games, none of these things helps your child in elementary school. Why? Because their brain is forming and because they're forming habits that they'll have for the rest of their life. They can pick up a phone at any time, and believe me, they'll know how to use it, but they won't know how to talk to people. They won't know how to read. They won't want to be patient, etc. You know, there's the new book out, The Anxious Generation, by renowned social psychologist Jonathan Haidt, and he is saying no phone until high school. That's what Bill Gates did. And he is saying no social media until 16. And this is what the research is telling us about what's happening. And I think we as parents, you know, we want to do right to our kids. We don't want them to feel left out. So we give them all these things. But for us to realize, you know, that's a really good plan. It's a plan we have done in our family. And it has worked so, so, so well. So that's a place to start. Now you're listening and you have small kids. Guess what? You get to pre-decide these things. we're starting to talk about these things as parents. And if you can find another family at church, at school that will do this, your chance of success will be much greater because you'll know, like, we are doing this in community. This is really good for our kids. And it is. You're going to see a huge difference between the 15, 16-year-old who's not on social media and the one that is. And you're going to reap the benefits. So if you're listening and you can pre-decide these things and have this as your plan, you are golden. Now, if you're listening and you've already done something and you're like, oh, I need to come back, that's okay, because that's part of the process as well, is reeling it back in.
Yeah. And that what you said reminds me of a line from your book where you ask the question, is technology bringing your family closer together or is it driving it further apart? Yeah. And I think if we can keep that question in our minds when we're going through these decision processes as we make a plan, I think that's a good approach.
Yeah. And yeah, because as long as it's like, okay, I gave you this device and maybe, you know, I really like the Gab phone. It's a phone, but it's not a smartphone. So you can take pictures on it. You can do a group chat. You can have GPS. You can have clean music. They take the explicit music off. So you could be talking to grandma. You could be doing those things. Those are all really, really positive uses. So yay for the positive uses. But and so that technology is bringing family closer together. We're all watching a movie together. That technology brings us together. But it's when we are what? Isolated, when we are looking at unhealthy material. You know, TikTok in America is different than TikTok in China. It's called Douyin in China. It is educational. It is wholesome. It is what I would call a digital vegetable. They learn how to solve Rubik's cubes and draw. And guess what they export to the United States of America? Unlimited TikTok. It's limited to 40 minutes in China. Unlimited TikTok that when the Wall Street Journal pretended to be a 13-year-old, they got 569 videos about drug use and eating disorders and suicide being glamorized and dangerous challenges for your body or vandalizing your school. Like, is this what we as Christian parents want to fund for our kids to have? So for us to realize there is a lot that is not bringing the family together.
Wow. All really valid points. And I'm also wondering here, Arlene, in your opinion, I know you mentioned the age 16 for a smartphone, and in your opinion and your experience, can you tell us a little bit about the right time to get your child a smartphone, what you've experienced and what you recommend?
Everybody always wants to know, like, just tell me, right?
Yes.
14.8, and everybody will write it down and do it. But no, your kids are going to be different. So you might have an older kid who it's just going to wreak havoc in their life. And you might have a younger kid that they'd be okay with it. They'd use it and put it down and forget it existed. So you have to realize equity doesn't mean like every single child in my home has the same rules, because it's not the same. Mm-hmm. It's not the same. So parent uniquely to your child. And then I do think the Bill Gates thing of in high school is a good thing. To wait at least until high school for the smartphone. And remember, if your child makes you a PowerPoint presentation and shows you all the benefits of the smartphone and you're so impressed by this and they make you all sorts of promises, how if you make the contract, they will abide by what it says. And if they don't do it, if they just have one infraction, you can take it away. You need to ask yourself, are they already responsible with all the things they've already been given? So if you've got a kid that is supposed to walk the dog and is supposed to do their laundry and is supposed to do their homework, and they don't do any of those things, but they promise you, right? You need to realize, no, no, no. When you are responsible in other areas of your life, we will consider you getting a smartphone. And until you are responsible in the other areas, like, you are not ready. So that's step one. And then step two is really, it's not an age, you know, so we give our kids, we live in San Diego, our kids go to public school, so we do not live under a rock, you know, we're not like around our children all the time, and we don't give smartphones until the senior year of high school is when we talk about it. So I have a senior in high school and, you know, we'll ask her, you know, do you want social media? Do you know, you're a senior. Do you want a phone? She's like, nope, I don't want it. I will get it in May. So she will get it in May right before she graduates. And that's now her choice. So I really encourage you that, does everyone have to do it this way? No. But Arlene, can this be done? Yes, it can be done. And I think with I think there will be more and more parents who will look this way, who will say, I want my kids to be healthier. We're going to push this off longer.
Wow. I'm imagining what parents are thinking as they're hearing this, right? And one of the things that our podcast has really worked hard at is to really provide practical tools that parents can implement in their life. And usually we throw a lot of things at them and we say, choose one thing, try this, see how it works. You don't have to change everything in a day. And so I'm thinking about parents who are hearing what you're sharing and they're thinking, wow, this is such great advice, but I've already kind of gone over the edge. We've already given our kids devices. They already have all the video games. How do we begin to kind of bring that back, to reel it in a bit, and present like possible changes to our kids that we kind of anticipate what the response is going to be?
So you are in the majority if you're feeling this way. So you're definitely not alone. And you, first of all, have to believe that, okay, I can make a change. Like if you kind of doubt it, like there's no way my family could make any changes, then it's pretty much a self-fulfilling prophecy. Like, yeah, we're not going to make it. But if you will make a small specific change and kind of have that win. So let's start having dinner together. Let's start there. Let's have dinner together X amount of times a week, you know, get to a point where you're having more and more dinners together that are completely screen free and start there. Like we're going to have a screen free meal and we're going to start there. And whatever change you're presenting, you've got to be enthusiastic about it. Not like this is a death sentence. It is a punishment because you people are lame. So we're doing that. No, this is like, hey, I hear this podcast. I want our family to be closer together. This is what we're going to try. We're going to try it for 2 weeks. And I think it's going to be awesome. We are going to have dinner together without any phones. And Dad and I, we are going to lead the way and we're going to put our phones on this bookshelf. And that's what we're going to do. Now, let's say you realize, okay, I want to collect the phone or device out of my child's bedroom because I want my child to get a good night's sleep. Okay, let's say that is the action step, which would be a very good action step after listening to this, that if you're going to change one thing, that is something that could be huge wins for your child, because guess what? Now they get to sleep and all sorts of other things will start working in their life. So let's say, you know, I'm going to collect the phone. Your child's not going to be like, oh, I am so glad that you are becoming a mature mom or dad and you're really stepping up. Take my phone. This is going to be so good for me. No, they're going to be like, you are already the strictest person of all the parents in the room. I already have the least of any person I know taking the one thing I have away from you. And so you as a parent can be like, it's like the accusation audit. You can tell your child, you're going to think I'm the worst parent in the world. You're going to think I am stricter than any other parent that you know. You're probably going to slam the door. You're probably going to say I hate you and you probably won't talk to me for 3 days. Just lay it out. Like, well, this, lay it out. That's probably going to happen. And you know what? I love you so much. I'm willing to take all of those things because I owe you an apology. I've given you this phone. I've let you play this video game overnight, whatever it is. I know you're not sleeping as well. I know all the other kids are doing this, but I'm not the mother of all the kids. I'm your mother and I'm sorry. I dropped the ball. I want you to be healthy. When you're over 18 and you're out of the house, it's on you. But you're in the house and it's on me and I'm sorry. So I'm going to collect the phone. I know you hate me. I know you want to scream at me. I know that. And I'm taking the phone and we'll talk about this in 1 month. And you walk out the room. And no matter what that child does, how they scream, whatever. And if you tell them you're going to scream, you're going to slam the door, it, you know, it kind of takes the fun out of it for them because they're like, you've already called me on all of those things. So just be very self-deprecating. Be very like, I know this isn't going to be popular. I know this is hard. And I think when parents can empathize with their children and say, you know what, buddy, I have trouble. Like the dad, I play video games all the time. I'll take a break too with you. I won't play video games either for 2 weeks. Or the mom, I won't look at my Instagram feed either for 2 weeks. Let's do this together. When you can do a reset as a family and show your kids, I'll do it too. Like I'll come alongside of you. Let's just make sure that we're not enslaved to anything. Let's make sure that our health is good. And I'll do, I think that's a really good way to introduce change.
You said something that I think is really important. And I want to emphasize this because this would be really easy, like to say, okay, this is our kids' issue, and so we're gonna kind of cut down on their usage and all that. But I think adults are in the same boat in a lot of ways. Parents who they're not paying attention to their kids because they're on their phone looking at social media things. So you said something about doing this along with them. Maybe talk a little bit about that, the ownership that parents should take for their own usage.
And guess what? You know, when you're a parent, one of those benefits that you're like, oh man, I don't want this benefit, is it makes us better people. Now we are forced to be more responsible with our own technology because we have little people who are watching us. You know, another we talked about is technology bring your family closer together. Another question is, if my child grew up to use technology just like me, would I be, 100% delighted? And if you think to yourself, I am not 100% delighted if they use it just like me, maybe you have a spouse that you're feeling like, I wish you would put that phone down so that I could talk to you uninterrupted, So we as adults, we are struggling with this. So that's a really good place to start and acknowledge. I was just recently talking to a young mom who was saying, yeah, I don't eat with my kids because it's much easier to put them in front of the TV so they can eat. And then I can go watch my favorite show and eat, so it's easier for us. And so for us to realize, wait a minute, I am Christ's ambassador to my child. I am the vehicle that God is going to use to teach my child about who God is. What does the word of God say? And that's going to come out of relationship. And so for us as parents, we have to reevaluate, oh, wait a minute, am I closer to my child or am I closer to my phone or am I closer to my video game? Am I closer to YouTube than I am these two kids sitting in front of me? So we must also reevaluate and let that be a revival and a renewal and start with ourselves and then teach our kids and maybe that willingness to come together and say, hey, we all have a problem with this. Why don't we all skip something like whether it's turning off the modem on Friday night and not turning it back on until Saturday night, like a 24-hour thing where it's like, oh my word, we have to find other things to do as a family that don't revolve around video games or watching YouTube. Like that would be a good challenge.
That is so good. Thank you, Arlene. And I think too that this really is a deeper work, isn't it? It is for sure on the surface screens that we see right there in front of us, but it does so much more inside our hearts, inside our minds, and inside our relationships. And we all agree, listeners, you as well, that I know we've heard from you that we want healthy relationships. We want our kids to know us. We want to know them. We want to be building faith together. That's what this whole, initiative on the podcast is about. And that's our heart's desire. And so it's something that we have to be intentional to do. And we're really excited, Arlene, to have you back here in just a few more days for our webinar. And so we're looking forward to that. And that webinar is going to talk a little bit more about the social skills, the A+ skills that every child needs in learning to have conversations, learning to be able to handle themselves in social settings rather than behind a screen. So can you tell us just a little bit about the A+ skills? Give us a little preview of the webinar that we have coming up on May the 2nd.
You can think about those A+ skills like the school skills, like getting good grades. And that's helpful. That's nice. But if you have a child who has relational skills, at the end of your life, you're not going to be like, I got an A, I got into Harvard. Like, that's not what you're going to say. At the end of your life, what's going to make your life meaningful is your relationship with God and your relationship with people. And guess what? A lot of technology is robbing our kids from having a close relationship with God and from having a close relationship with people. So we're really in this webinar going to be like, wait a minute, we are going to go against this trend and we are going to help our children learn relational skills because we think they're just bored with them. Like some people are people and some people aren't, but it's not true. You learn this. Your brain learns the pathway of, oh, I put my hand out and I look at a person and I shake their hand and I say, nice to meet you. Like that is a learned skill. So how can we teach kids skills, a few of the A+ skills? You have to come to the webinar to hear them all, but one of them, for instance, would be affection. How does your child give and receive love? you know, we talk about the five love languages. This Screen Kids is co-authored with Dr. Gary Chapman. So if your love language is physical touch, your child's love language is that. Well, how is that impacted by screen time? Usually people are not snuggled up next to each other as they're playing video games. So we're going to talk about how can we really help our kids practice relational skills so that they will be grow up to be the most successful person they can. And that is through loving Christ, knowing Christ, making him known.
Wow. So that's coming up May 2nd.
Yes.
7 o'clock p.m. Central Daylight Time. And you can sign up for that at centerff.com, our website. Arlene, before we let you go, you have a podcast of your own. Would you like to just talk a little bit about that?
Yes. I love learning from my podcast guests, like how we're talking about things. I have the same thing where we're talking about marriage and parenting. So the podcast is called The Happy Home Podcast. And it's not about giving your children everything they want and keeping them happy. That's not what it's about. But it is about in the presence of the Lord, there's fullness of joy. And when we are in doing things God's way, you have a happy house. Like you want your children to think, I like my house. And that's what we are all about. So The Happy Home Podcast.
Well, Arlene, thank you so much for your time today, for joining us here on Faith Together. It has been a joy talking with you today, and we can't wait to continue this conversation at our webinar very soon. Listeners, please do check out Arlene's podcast, Happy Home Podcast, and please join us for that A-plus skills webinar. We would love to have you there. We're so thankful that you joined us today on Faith Together. And Leon, would you give us our blessing on
the
way out?
Sure. Happy to do it. May the Lord bless you, keep you, and give you peace. You've been listening to the Faith Together podcast from the Center for Faith and Family at Olivet Nazarene University. Sign up for additional resources at centerff.com. When building faith, we are better together.